Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 14th, 2022. Today is Monday in the second week of Lent. The reflection today is drawn from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. When we last left Jesus, he had barely escaped being thrown off a cliff after an unsuccessful first and only sermon, as far as we know, in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. The next scene that Luke presents us is sometime later. We don't know exactly how much later, but it's another Sabbath day, and Jesus is teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. And what Luke records for us is that the congregation that day is astounded because Jesus' teaching comes with authority. Now, Luke doesn't record for us what Jesus said. We don't know what the content of his teaching was that day. But what Luke does record is how that teaching affected people. There was something in Jesus' persona, his gravitas, something in his affect that literally bypassed people's rational side. They weren't just listening as disinterested bystanders. They weren't simply judging the value of Jesus' teaching for its rhetorical style or for its complexity or for how it was consistent or not with the law as they understood it. No, there was something about it that literally grabbed them by the gut. They were astounded. And in the middle of the proceedings, there's a voice from a man in the congregation who says, "Let us alone. What have you come to destroy us? What have you got to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Clearly a disturbance and a disturbed individual, and Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit, Luke calls it, and casts it out. Well, that brings a full stop to everything that's going on, and it only underscores for the congregation Jesus' authority. They say, "What kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and out they come." Jesus leaves there, goes to the home of Simon Peter, whose mother-in-law is sick with a high fever, and Jesus rebukes the fever, just like he had rebuked the unclean spirit, and she's healed. And the next thing you know, there's crowds around the doorstep at Simon Peter's house. And people were bringing the sick and those who were oppressed with unclean spirits and all sorts and conditions of people. And Jesus was healing. And it was such a powerful moment in the neighborhood, they didn't want Jesus to leave. Eventually he does. Eventually he says, I can't stay here. I've got to move on. And he begins in earnest his itinerant ministry throughout Galilee and finally into Judea. As I've been thinking about this passage today, I keep coming back to the deliverance of the man in the synagogue in Capernaum. And I recognize that these exorcisms that are recorded in all four Gospels present particular challenges to those of us with 21st century sensibilities. Through the last century or more, Bible scholars have gone through all sorts of gyrations in order to try and make sense of these exorcism passages. And I think the reason that we have gone through all of those efforts is a result of the fact that we are intensely uncomfortable with the notion that there might be more to the world around us than what meets the eye. There was no such There was no such conviction in Jesus' time. The veil between the physical world and the spiritual one was a very thin veil. And people received visions, and people encountered spirits of all sorts and conditions. And I think that that makes us really uncomfortable. We live in a time where we believe that every phenomenon has a scientific explanation, that the universe works according to certain laws and principles, and that what we haven't figured out yet can be figured out. And I wonder if this flattening of reality hasn't led to a spiritual paucity on our part. Most of us are very comfortable with, those of us who are church folk and who follow Jesus, most of us are very comfortable with the notion of Jesus as a prophet, or Jesus as a teacher, or Jesus as a moral example. And while Jesus as a healer is a little bit more of a stretch for us, the notion of Jesus as one having authority over the demonic, whew, for some of us, that's a bit of a stretch. When people ask me, do you believe in a literal Satan? Do you believe in demons? Well, I always point them to the baptismal rite in our prayer book, where we ask the person about to be baptized, or the sponsors of the babies who are about to be baptized, I ask on behalf of the church, do you renounce Satan and all of the spiritual forces which rebel against God? And I always say to people who ask me about a personal Satan or the demonic, I always say after I read that, if we don't believe that there is something behind the veil between the physical and the spiritual world that does have not our best interests at heart, then why is this here in our baptismal rite? Now, granted, I'm not sure what I would do in a liturgy if something happened like happened in the synagogue in Capernaum. But maybe I don't have to worry about it. Maybe I don't have to worry about it because the first wile of the devil, someone has said, is to convince us to convince ourselves that the devil does not exist. And so we happily move along naming things as demonic, naming war as demonic and violence as demonic and racism as demonic and all the other things that afflict our society. And in some ways, those things are demonic. And through the power of Jesus, the church is on the front lines of encountering and wrestling with the demonic. Paul, in another place in the scripture, says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, before I go too far down a rabbit hole that I can't get out of on a second Monday in Lent, here's what I want to leave us with. Jesus' authority is beyond simply the content of his words. And the authority that we have as followers of Jesus is also beyond the content of the words. And I wonder if in our flattening out of reality to ignore that which is unseen, I wonder if part of the reason we as the church don't exercise the authority of Jesus is because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of what might happen if we began to act as if, through the power of the Spirit, we really did have authority over principalities and powers. It's worth thinking about. I hope it's worth praying about. As we move through this season, I pray that God would give us a sensitivity to remember that just because something is unseen doesn't mean it's unreal. Let us pray. Grant, O God, to all who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that as we have put away the old life of sin, so we may be renewed in the spirit of our minds and live in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.